Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bear with me a moment. Just another moment. They say Concordia University on them. Okay. Let's see here. All right, yeah. I'm running out of room. Okay. All right, everything has to be just right. Or at least, for Roger, I get the picture it had to be ordered a certain way. For a man who desired to have his clothes laid out at Ridgewood for every day of the week and even created a system to identify on the hanger which clothes and which day it referred to, I can only imagine how he conducted himself in the classroom and how he ordered himself as a principal. Just look at the meticulous notes that he prepared for how he desired for this worship service to flow today. These are all his own, not pastor's, not mine. Jane, you and Roger may have served from Minnesota to Montana, or from South Dakota down to Kansas, over to Iowa, but Seward County was home. I mean, he was born here in Seward, baptized here at St. John. And though you traveled around, you served different places, the boys grew up different areas, in retirement, you circled right back around to home again. Now, I'm not sure how much of an impact this had in developing his organizational habits, but losing grandpa, losing one's father at the age of 10 would certainly affect a young child, a young boy. But in the midst of all of that, mom was on top of things. She moved to Seward, but kept the house here, or Statehurst, but kept the house here in Seward in order to rent it out and bring some extra income, and then eventually moved to Lincoln and provided daycare, at the very least, doing what was necessary, and then living with determination was certainly a result. Evidence that determination took him, it drove him to pursue his own educational degree with great support from the Nebraska district. You tell me, boy, I wish they had this when I went to school here. But the Nebraska district provided all of the remaining finances to cover for college, because he was studying to be a teacher. And then he also later was determined to pursue that master's that he eventually got from River Forest, now called Concordia University Chicago, as I understand it, but also room and board generously contributed to by his current ministry at the time, Columbia. Not to mention the fact that you also attained your own bachelor's degree in 1975, I believe. On a little bit of a lighter note, speaking of determination, I can't imagine what it was like planning the details for those family trips, vacations that took you over much of the U.S., but especially everything west of Missouri, including one trip you took where you borrowed that one time that pop-up camper that you realized was not your preferred style of travel. Personally, I'd love it. But you were determined never to do that again. Maybe even a little more difficult than maneuvering a camper, more recently was his motorized chair, where he may have left a couple of souvenirs on the walls over at Ridgewood this past year, I understand. They're shaking their heads, yes. Also evident in ministry, he worked long, and he worked hard. So much so that it's easy to see how it may have taken away from time at home and time with family. Now, his dedication to work didn't take away from the importance of family by no means, but sometimes that drive does make it difficult to find balance in life, something that most of us, perhaps even all of us, can speak to. But Lutheran education was undoubtedly important to him, something that he had championed his entire ministry and even beyond. Once he transitioned to Ridgewood, he still found joy in leading Bible class, taking notes and preparing outlines for another class, even when he was returning from the doctor's office, not taking time to get set and to transition, but moving straight from the car to class, only taking time to remove his outer coat before diving in and teaching. He loved leading devotions on Wednesdays. Throughout his ministry, he loved instilling the faith in kids and in families. And every time he had a chance to lead devotion, post-it note after post-it note, I don't know, were they in his Bible or wherever around, they cluttered his area, recording his thoughts to share his faith in Christ and to convey that one scriptural main truth. Now, sometimes those notes poured all over the floor because his desk was cluttered, things ended on the floor, and he didn't like to file, from what you tell me. But that aside, Roger was a man with detail, with drive, detail that helped him teach, administer, and care, all with the purpose of pointing to Christ. The problem is, no matter how detailed Roger was, no matter the amount of organization with which he may have conducted his day-to-day activities, no amount of planning on his part could prepare him for this day, or prepare him for what is to come. Quite frankly, to rely on that planning would have an adverse effect. And Roger knew that. Roger understood that. Now, it may not have always been noticeable, and it may not have always been expressed in the best way, but there's a reason that he constructed, if you will, today's service the way that he did. Ironically, all of the planning meant to convey that it's not about my plan. It's not about my attention to detail, and it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It is all, and it is only about him. Listen again to those words from Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works or planning or your detail, so that no one may boast. By grace you have been saved. By faith you have been saved. As a gift, you have been saved. If we boast, it is not in ourselves, but in the Lord, you have been saved. It's a beautiful message. Now, I recognize it doesn't always appear that way. I don't like it, but I know it. You should go to church every Sunday. You're supposed to talk like this. You're supposed to act like this. You're not supposed to do this. If you do, we'll question you, we'll judge you, perhaps we'll even call you out. You need to look like a Christian, and you need to act like one, and then we'll know you are one. It's not the Christianity of the Bible. Whoops, there they go. But sadly, that's sometimes the Christianity that we often convey, and certainly which is often seen. Verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." The reality, not only can we not save ourselves, but we don't even talk and act like those who are. Not Roger, not you, and not me. First, if I can somehow be that super Christian that I attempt to portray, then I've done everything that's necessary, and I don't even need a Jesus. Second, I can't. I never will. Because of which, I need Jesus. We need Jesus. And we have him. You have him. Better yet, he has you. He has Roger. He has me. And he has you. It's absurd to think that a ruler, a king, that God would lay aside his power and prestige to lower himself for those who can't stick to the plan. But all along it was God's plan to toss aside any attempt to look organized and put together as he was put on a cross, giving his life for lives that get lost in the details, that mishandled the specifics, and even those that think they have it all figured out on their own. But for them, for Roger, and for you, Jesus died. For you, he rose. For you, he won the forgiveness that we need and that we have. And today we celebrate that his gift, not reward, but gift, is one of life. Eternal life. Jane, when Pastor Remfer and I visited with you last Saturday morning, you emphasized that as Roger's health rapidly declined on Friday, the day he died, you said there was no anxiety. He commented that perhaps this was God's quick plan. Simply stated, he was at peace. Now, it was not a good day. We said goodbye to one that we love. There was nothing that you could control. There was nothing that he could control. And yet, you said he was at peace. Well, there is peace in knowing that it's not supposed to be in our control, but it's in God's. It's all about his plan. It's all about what he has organized. It's all about God's details, not Roger's, not yours, and not mine. And Roger knew that. And he wanted you to know that. And so today we celebrate what can fit on just one post-it note. God's details, a promise that's found in this wonderful passage from Ephesians. So one last time. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God." Not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Grant this, Lord, to us all, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We sing. Amen.